This episode of Edible Valley is brought to you by Island Bison. The Vance family was gracious in their donation of bison back ribs for the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Catch episode 17 as our friend Mark Vance explains the story of Island Bison. If you are interested in a low-fat, flavorful meat product that is strictly grass-fed, hormone and antibiotic-free, give Island Bison a try. They are available at many fine retailers in the Comox Valley and every week at the Farmer's Market. Thank you ever so much for your continuing support in keeping this local food podcast alive. Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prose.
And I'm Jonathan Fraser. And we'd like to invite you once again to join with us on our culinary adventure through our Edible Valley.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. Blaine, and yourself?
Oh, good. It was a good long weekend.
Excellent.
Gotta love those 3 days off. You even had 3 days off.
I actually pulled off 3 days off this weekend, so it was beautiful for this beautiful Thanksgiving weekend. So I got a chance to hang out with the family, and we had a beautiful dinner out in Merville at my aunt's place. So
nice.
A lot of fun. Great yeah. meal.
Cool.
It's always amazing to watch a vegetarian cook a turkey, so... My aunt did a fabulous job.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
We did do miso dressing or miso
gravy.
Gravy.
Yeah.
Which was quite nice. I actually really enjoyed it, and there wasn't anything on the dish that I could possibly complain about. So it was fabulous.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I had a good weekend too. I had some friends over and did a little butcher party on Friday night with some deer. And then on Saturday, my dad and I picked many pounds of tomatoes off our plants, like probably 20 pounds or so. It was crazy. I couldn't believe how much fruit was on those plants.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, what am I going to do with these things? Well, why don't we try making salsa? So I made salsa on Saturday or Sunday for most of the day I was canning and processing. So
some nice fresh salsa.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And it turned out really well too. Yeah, I canned it all, and I used all my own tomatoes, and then I used onions from Seifert's farm, and the rest of the stuff I picked up at Seeds Market.
Excellent.
So,
well, speaking of seeds, we're going to have them in today with us.
Tina Willard Steppen is coming in as our guest here shortly, so we'll talk to her about what's going on and seeds and what her inspiration was, and maybe get a little rundown of the Foggy Mountain Festival in Cumberland over the long weekend, because I know she was a part of that.
Yeah, sounds like it was a lot of fun up there. So
yeah, I'd like to welcome Tina Willard Steppen to the studio, owner of Seeds Food Market in Cumberland. Welcome, Tina.
You're
welcome.
Thank you.
I've been a patron of your store for 4 years now. You've been open.
Four and a half. We're almost at our 5-year mark, time I'll throw a really big party.
No kidding. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And you're just around the corner from my house. So, I mean, I'm there all the time.
Yeah. Have you ever come in your pajamas?
Probably.
Sometimes we give discounts for that, you know.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Watch us on Facebook. When everybody gets bored in the winter, we'll do it.
Cool.
Now you're in trouble because he's going to show up every day in his pajamas.
So. Okay, no, we'll announce when the discount is, Blaine.
Yeah, anybody can come in their pajamas to set, Blaine. He just gets the deal. Well, it's great because I can send my daughter over there if I'm busy making dinner. I just, here, Natalie, go grab such and such, and she goes over there, and if she can't reach something, she asks somebody for help, and they help her, and she comes back, and it's been great for her building a little independence and, you know, some shopping skills.
Yeah, Cumberland has lots of places like that for kids. Yeah,
totally. Everything's
safe,
so
safe
close.
Place. Yeah.
So give us a little background.
I don't
really know a lot about you. So,
well, not about you, and I honestly don't know that much about the market because I live in Courtney and I don't get out to Cumberland that often. So it's not sort of on my radar to hit that place.
Put us on your radar.
I know I should. I have been in a couple times. I'll admit that for sure. I know on my way out to visit Blaine and stuff like that to grab a few things. But
So do you want to know about me first or about
sure.
the store?
Yeah. Give us a little rundown about.
I'll tell you about the store. It's a 1,200 square foot food market. We've sort of been dubbed Green Grocer by a number of people in Cumberland, so we've been starting to use that. We honestly, we're Cumberland's grocer with a natural slant. So we carry a mix of organic and conventional foods. Our purchasing focus is as small a radius as possible. So I can talk about that as we get further into the show.
Yep.
So not all local, not all organic. And my family of four eats only from that store. So we carry big enough variety for somebody to do lots and lots of their shopping there. And we're also a community gathering place, which is, I think, one of the big things that we do well, customer service, community development. It's fun in there. It's really fun.
It's a good place to
go. Yeah, it is. It's a happy place.
Yeah. I get into conversations there all the time. I stop in for 2 minutes to grab something and I'm in there for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I see people having meeting, like Chamber of Commerce meetings in front of the broccoli. And it's neat. It definitely has a farmer's market feel, even though we're a year-round grocery store. So, yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your background? How did you get to Cumberland? Like, have you been there for a while or?
No, I was born and raised in Calgary.
Okay.
And I studied to be a teacher actually at University of Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a brief stint with teaching in the public system and then moved and gravitated towards community development work and working with youth and running nonprofit programs and nonprofit management. And then I had my two children and became a certified coach and got into coaching and facilitation and education more with adults in the wider community. And so I worked a little bit in that field when we moved here 7 years ago. But I sort of had a yearning to apply those skills to my own business. And so mm-hmm. that was sort of the beginning of wanting to become self-employed.
Right.
Yeah. So I've never actually even worked in a grocery store. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So I haven't.
This is a first shot at it. Right?
Although I have a huge passion for food and lots of management skills. And so it was easily transferable, but
right.
My work background wasn't that. And we've been in Cumberland for about 7 years.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yeah.
So what brought you to Cumberland?
We were traveling with our family and had thought of relocating to the Valley because some friends had told us about it. And during our travels, someone sent us an email about the Cumberland Community Forest Society. And we thought, what a cool town that they'd be raising money to buy the forest around it to be preserved. And so when we arrived in the Valley traveling, we stopped in Cumberland and then we just sort of never left. Hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the community forest is great. I love that.
It was it was just so neat to hear that the town was doing that. So
mm-hmm.
It was sort of we were thinking of it anyways. The outdoor recreation here is unbelievable and we were wanting to relocate to the island somewhere. So mm-hmm. It was a natural fit. Yeah.
Fellow mountain biker.
Yes.
I've seen you on the trail a few times.
Mountain biking. Yeah.
Good. So one thing I was on your website and I saw that it reminded me that you guys were the first local store to go plastic bag free.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty cool thing. Like, you guys were ahead of your time and the bigger ones are following suit now. But what made you kind of decide that?
You know, I think people were just starting to really delve deeply into the issue of plastic bags. It was the beginning of the conversation we were opening. And, you know, honestly, purely selfishly, the first impetus was, darn, look at how much these bags cost and we're not really going to be making any money and we have to give one away to everybody. So that was the beginning of the conversation. Well, what's with this plastic? Everybody's asking about it mm-hmm. and looking into it. And the more I looked into all the options, there aren't really good alternatives to plastic bags even.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic being the worst, the degradable kind being the kind that breaks up into smaller bits of plastic. Paper bags, you know, not being excellent either. So I had a friend in Calgary who just said, why don't you just not do bags at all? And it felt a little bit funny. We got great. I've only ever had probably two people in almost 5 years be unhappy about it. Most people were congratulatory right away, like, good for you. Yeah, it's a bit inconvenient. But we do lots of things to compensate. We give away boxes. We have a whole loner bag pool that just floats around Cumberland where mm-hmm. people bring us their spare reusable bags. People can buy a paper bag. Sometimes we have people bring in a pile of their old Quality Foods bags, and that's really funny to be getting people grocery bags from other stores, but it's about the community and how they want to compensate for it. So they've just worked it out and it's never been a question. So we felt happy, but at first it felt a little bit brave. We had little signs all over the store explaining and rationalizing our decision. And
I remember that when you opened, it was it was a big deal because
nobody
was doing
had done
that.
It yet. And then the Chamber of Commerce Valley-wide did their Bring Your Bag campaign, and we were part of that. That was the following year. And then, yeah, now the bigger retailers are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought one of the wonderful grass woven baskets from your store, so I use that.
Oh, yeah. People just get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we almost always have a loaner to give somebody to take home, and then they'll bring me back five. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's fine. You can just
say I've got a few in my house. I can drop by.
Yeah. Oh, bring them by. I think it's been a concern of ours that it affects our sales, honestly, because I think I've always thought, well, would people buy more if they could carry more? But a lot of our customers are on foot anyways, and we've just always kept it a priority anyways. It's mm-hmm. been really important to us.
On foot or on bicycle?
Yeah, on foot or on bicycle. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know who's working at the store by. Whose bikes are in the rack outside. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awkward when there are three of us with bikes there because yeah, right. Then there's nowhere to park for you when you come. Yeah.
So what are some of the foods that you sell that you're kind of proud of?
That we're proud of? I think we have a lot of unique items that you can't get just anywhere. A lot of locally manufactured food, Vancouver Island-based companies. I'm always really happy and proud during the summer when we can pick up as much local produce as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We buy from at the end of the day, I probably have about 200 places I buy from, but in the summer we glean from five major, you know, local farms. We wish we could do more, but the Sudoku puzzle that is produce ordering doesn't allow for it always. And we also find a lot of the local farmers just grow enough for their own retail operations. So to get our hands on some of it, you might find that working in the restaurant industry. Right. It's like, oh, good, I finally got the local kale. We have to sit on the edge of our seats in the spring waiting for it. And now it's just dwindling down and we're starting to get a little sad. So mm-hmm. that's probably the thing we're most proud of is to be able to because we're so small and it's primarily me doing the purchasing, I can transfer where I'm buying it from quickly. Whereas the bigger retail operations have a much larger system in place. They can't just be like, oh, Cal has kale. Let's go get it. So that we're really proud of. And then just supporting the local food manufacturers in general, just always giving them the first right of refusal. If they have a product that's going to sell, that they can get to me, that the customers are going to buy, that's well priced, I'd way rather carry that than something from far away. So we mm-hmm. just, like I said, try to keep it as small as possible without being super purist about it always being local, because I feel like that's not going to meet all of our customers' needs.
Right. Yeah, yeah, because mm-hmm. you also sell like Heinz bean, say, or like just a general product that people see everywhere.
Yeah. So yeah. Cumberland's a really varied audience. Yeah. I mean, I think if we'd opened a purist organic local food shop, we probably wouldn't be there anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful, dynamic, diverse community, and it's interesting to try to meet the needs of the whole spectrum.
Right.
So yeah, we have Heinz baked beans and Heinz ketchup, and we have organic ketchup, and we have organic beans.
Yeah. Yeah. I went in and bought Tanitas Farms bacon and a jug of Heinz ketchup. It's like, this is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all
try to do it all, be all things to all people. Not always possible, but yeah, I think people would be impressed. Most people are impressed when they come in and see we sort of have a little bit of everything you'd see in a big grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so you might not have an entire aisle of cereal and, you know, 800 choices. Mm-hmm. But we also make a point of hiring people who know how to cook. And so if you don't see exactly what it is you're looking for, we can almost always suggest something that would work or that you might be able to substitute for that. And so I intentionally hire people who like to cook for that reason. It ends up being sort of a creative sales job in a way, because we love to talk to people about what are you making for dinner? No, oh, we don't have that, but we don't have fresh lemongrass, but I have this dehydrated version. Depending on what you're making, you can substitute that and it should suffice.
Right.
You know, or you can drive all around Courtney
looking for it. Yeah.
Fresh lemongrass, which mm-hmm. you might not find.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And you're able to keep your price points competitive with the bigger grocers. I mean,
yeah, I think so. We try really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We use a grocery store formula as opposed to a convenience store formula.
Right.
I think one of the things people think is if it's local and it's small, it's going to be really expensive. And yeah, we work really, really hard to try to, compare prices and keep it in line with what grocery stores charge in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're never going to be able to compete with big box store sales prices. Right. Nobody can.
Yeah.
But I think it's ballpark. And we do a pretty good job of that. Most people come in and are kind of surprised, like, ooh.
I guess if you
some things are even cheaper. Mm-hmm. And then I start investigating. Maybe I'm not charging enough. I'm kidding.
But I guess even if you think about leaving Cumberland to drive all the way across Courtney to pick up something and then drive back.
Yeah, and then find a parking spot and then stand in line and
drive around and then
Some people do though. We're not for everyone.
No. Completely understandable. Yeah. But some it's people, nice to have that convenience of being right down the street and jumping in.
And
there.
Some things we just are never gonna be able to sell for as cheaply as other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I just can't buy them at the same price.
I just can't stand driving into town and then driving back home for like three items. I make like 10 steps and I'm in the door and I got smiling faces and a conversation and then I go back home and I carry on with what I'm doing.
And we thank you for your support.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Well, I have to admit, I'm still traumatized from an 8-hour stint I spent in Kitimat at the Overweighty up there. When I was working on the Maple Leaf, because I had to stock the boat for 2 weeks with 14 people on, and it was just grocery store shopping, and and it was filling cart after cart.
You spent 8 hours in an Overweighty.
8 hours in a grocery store. And I'm still traumatized. Like, just going into a grocery store, it's just like, all I see is these walls, and I'm like, I just... not into this.
Yeah.
I can get pretty overwhelmed now by bigger grocery stores, but I have to say I'm such a food nerd. I love food stores. So yeah.
Small stores I'm in love with. Like, I'll spend hours looking at ingredients and that, but sometimes the bigger ones, just like when I'm looking at cereals, like you were saying just earlier.
It's like, whoa, give me 10 choices, not 300.
Slow it down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot.
It is pretty crazy.
Yeah, my kids think it's pretty cool, though. Like the big outing to the big grocery store. What are we going to buy that's all processed that you don't carry at your store, Mom?
Well, I was telling a guy that I know, he was asking me, or I was telling about Tanitus Farms bacon, because he's like, oh, that's the best bacon around. Where do you get it? I said, Seeds in Cumberland has it all the time. Really? Yeah. Take a drive. Go get it.
No.
I know he probably hasn't.
I'm so sad if we accidentally run out. I'm just are going to be so mad. Upsell the sausage. It'll be okay, folks. The bacon will be back on Tuesday.
If it's not there, I'm like, dang, I guess it's ham. Hope there's ham.
Yeah, or their back bacon's very good too, but we don't always have that. Yeah, Tanitus Farms products are probably one of our top sellers. I mean, you were asking one of the what products we're really proud of. I love supporting their farm. I really love Alan and his family and I don't know. It's just so cool that people know them and that they work really hard to keep their prices competitive.
Absolutely.
And I would say we sell a ton of things like their sandwich meat, because, you know, sandwich meat is full of all sorts of things and parents have concerns about feeding that to their children. Their product is clean and it's completely reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Including our markup. Like, I'm really proud of that one for sure.
Switching over in the restaurant to a lot of his stuff. Like, we got rid of our capicoli, or we're getting rid of our capicoli ham to use the Tanitus ham, because it's just a nicer product.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. We had one for Easter.
Yeah.
Ellen, or not Easter, Thanksgiving, I should say.
Big supporters of the show, too. We've had Ellen in here as a guest and have been out there a few times to just hang out with them and chat. And
they're super nice people. Yeah. It's always so nice to, like... everybody could go on and on about knowing the people you buy your food from, but when they're really nice people, it's easy to share and give money and trade and do business with people who are nice, right? It just makes life really happy. Yeah.
You also carry Island Bison products too?
We carry some Island Bison, Yeah, we do. We don't carry as much as we used to, but yeah, we carry their ground meat and their burgers, and people love their products as well. Yeah.
I stopped by there actually yesterday. I forgot to mention that in our intro. I wanted to bring Natalie there to have a look, because we're friends with Mark Vance, came in, interviewed, and John and I have been out to visit the farm, and so I stopped by there. They had the gate locked. I guess they were taking a day off, so. But some of the bison were mingling about close by at the gate on the driveway, so we got to have a look at them.
Yeah,
they're pretty cool critters.
Yeah, I need to start hanging out with you guys, because I don't get to drop in on all the farms as much as I want to. I'm going to go on tour with your roadshow. Yeah. I'm always strapped to the store or my children. So.
Well, I know that feeling. So
yeah,
I
know.
That's part of the reason
I have this goal every summer. I'm going to take the kids to all the farms and show them everything. We did manage this year to get a staff tour out at Eatmore Sprouts Farm, because they reopened their garden.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Aside from their sprouts operation, and that was just excellent for the staff. And the relationship building that happens when you do the tour is really cool. It makes the working relationship really very nice.
It does,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Now when I'm emailing back and forth and placing orders and have questions, there's totally a face and a conversation and a cup of tea that we had together at the other end of that conversation.
Yeah.
So
it's
really nice.
We've had that same with doing this podcast, is meeting people and kind of knowing a face and then do you want to come and have an interview? Oh yeah, absolutely. And it just makes it more casual and bringing a total stranger and we don't really have any idea who they are. So
have you had anyone from Eat More In?
No,
we've been pretty neat stuff there with alternative energy.
I've been talking with Amy quite a bit, actually. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely going to get her in the next little bit.
With reopening the garden, and they've got a new alternative energy source going in there that they should definitely be out in the public talking about. That's happening
gasification or
something soon.
Like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I want to know about that.
Big giant oven.
To
burn wood. Yeah.
Better than gas.
It's
pretty cool. Right?
It's not ready yet. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about it on the radio.
So it's pretty close, so I think it should be soon.
Yeah. Well, and I think anyone who's doing that kind of good work and, you know, more social entrepreneurship deserves lots of kudos and attention for it. Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So why is local food so important?
Well, I brought my notes for that.
Yeah, I thought you might want your notes for that one.
But I mean, there are lots of obvious ones. One, I think, we've talked about some of it, is that it's about relationships. And so you're, instead of giving your money over to a large corporation, which is not always bad, they meet lots of our needs, you're giving it to your neighbors and you're building community. And there's so much out there right now about how supporting your local economy is important. So I think... one of the reasons I opened a grocery store, which I didn't get to yet, but is that I came from this community development education background and I love food, and there wasn't a grocery store in our town. And so it was this natural, let's see a need, fill a need, follow your passion, all these things. And I realized that food touches everything, right? Food is political. Mm-hmm. Food is nutrition. So it's biological. Food is how people show each other they love each other. It's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's economics. It's everything, right? Food is really linked to just about everything. So from a community development standpoint, it was dreamy for me to have this super creative place where I could also talk about food all day, which is really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are lots of reasons it's better. It tastes better. Like everyone knows, if you pick a tomato right out of the garden, it tastes better than one that's been sitting on the shelf all winter. But we live in the most blessed place on earth that we can buy a tomato in the middle of the winter. So I don't diss that concept entirely. It reduces our carbon footprint. So our food travels far less, and there's lots of information about that.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts food security. I don't know if people know how little of our food that we eat on Vancouver Island is actually grown here. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 or 3%. It's definitely at least 90% comes from elsewhere. So you got a bad storm and no ferries coming in for a few days. We're not actually that far from having short-term and long-term food shortages on Vancouver Island. You know, whether or not you want to delve into the bigger picture of food security as a whole, other conversation, but just basic, like we could have storms for a few days and it actually could affect your food prices immediately because we really don't have that much salad on the island, especially in the winter.
People forget we live on an island.
Yeah.
That's a big issue for me.
I think there are lots of reasons to buy local food. And for me, I don't know, there's something, it's kind of magical to connect with people who make your food, and it's just something that builds community and the economy that I don't, you know. It's important. It's one thing to buy a hybrid car if you want to make an impact on your carbon footprint, but I think people undervalue how important food is. Mm-hmm. And we talk to customers without being, you know, I don't stand on a soapbox about any of that because, like I said, we want to meet all of our customers' needs, but we just make simple decisions like, I'm not going to get the apples from New Zealand. I'm going to buy them from Washington.
Right.
I'm not going to buy the oranges from South Africa. I'm going to buy them from California or Florida. So they're still being transported from a long ways away. We don't grow oranges here. We're spoiled. We want to eat oranges. Mm-hmm. The bananas are never going to come from Vancouver Island. So we're completely realistic about meeting the tastes and needs of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But also really open about just having people think about, hey, where'd that come from? Do you know? And is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we made the shift this year for the first time. We made it through the whole year with local garlic. And I don't think most people know that most of the garlic you buy at the big grocery stores is from China.
Yeah.
And garlic grows really well here. And it's just,
it does,
I don't understand why really cheap garlic is available from China. So this year we ended up getting enough suppliers that we got through the whole winter, and customers, they bought it, and we, you know, the staff were all like, yay, we didn't have any garlic from China all winter. So, you know, I can't say we're going to get to do that again this winter, but maybe.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, so that'd be great.
Why buy local? There's a lot of people growing garlic now. So like a lot of people are jumping on this garlic.
Yeah. Yeah. There, we had lots more people approach us with garlic this year than ever. And it was good garlic, really good garlic.
Yeah, like
so.
There's some amazing.
But it, you know, it is a little more pricey. I think you can use a little less. Some of the stuff we got from Denman Island was really spicy and very flavorful. I don't think you need to use as much. So yeah, there are lots of reasons, but I also, we're pretty open about food. You know, food does come from other places, and we live in the most beautiful place on earth, where we have that privilege to bring it in from elsewhere. So that happens too, right?
Yeah. It's just a mix of, we have great.
It's a mix. I just think it's about being open to asking the question and then deciding from there with all the information. That's all. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people are kind of shy about talking to a vendor so much. They like to just go in, get what they want, and leave without asking so many questions. And like, I think deep down people are interested in it. Some people, like, I mean, there's a lot obviously here that are really passionate about that, but the general public, I think, are, it's in their mind that it's what they should be doing, but they're kind of nervous about asking questions. And
well, and you know what, at the end of the day, I really think one of the most relevant things to people is price. And that's not because they don't have a wish to support local, or they don't even believe it's important. At the end of the day, they have to feed their families, and they only have so much money to do it with. But I really think that if people looked at it closely, the local stuff isn't a lot more expensive. And it's much more widely available than it was even when we opened. Our, you know, some of our prices have gone down on things, so for the local stuff. So yeah, I think maybe people are funny about it because of that, because they don't want to feel like they're cheap or they're getting ripped off, or you don't want to ask too much about that. I think that people feel like they know it's supposed to be important, but they don't, they still want to make a decision from wherever they make it from. So that's why we don't ever, there's no soapbox going on about local food at the store, because we do it all, right?
Well, we
just like to, you know, put a bit of a spotlight on the stuff that we think is important.
Good.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite things to cook and eat at home when you're making dinner? Do you have a specialty or a family favorite?
Oh, our family favorite is only a favorite because it's so easy and it's so yummy, but it's not my favorite thing to cook. But it was prontissima pasta, which isn't happening right now. Right. But fresh pasta, with Tannadice Farm sausage sautéed up and diced into like meatballs, and broccoli and fresh pesto, and just all tossed together. That's like our family. Bar none, everybody likes it. No one complains. You can make it in 20 minutes. Yeah. You can even cook the sausage from frozen.
Yeah.
So that's our favorite family favorite. In terms of, sent me that question. I don't know what my favorite thing to cook. I love cooking wholesome food. I love cooking homemade food. I'm a total food nerd. I get cookbooks from the library, and I read them like books.
Yeah.
Especially if they have nice pictures.
Yeah.
We like making sushi at our house too. We love eating sushi with the Esteban tuna.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. That's
great. Oh my God.
I love that stuff.
There's another one we're proud to carry. And it's fun to make with the kids, and it's probably my very favorite food to eat. So now I just really like cooking. Yeah. But mostly just healthy food, and my family luckily is pretty brave at experimenting with me making some vegan, you know, gluten-free something rather. They're usually pretty brave at trying things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And we get lots of, I learned a lot about cooking from customers because we're always talking about it and swapping recipes. And I've never had a job where people bring you so much food, ask about what they're cooking for dinner or what cookies they're making or whatever, and they'll bring in a sample. Here, I brought you some of the cookies I made. It's great.
Yeah.
People just love to share, right?
Yeah. Especially because we already talked to them about it and we helped them figure it out. And then I can't tell you how many single guys I've taught how to make soup in the store. They come in, they're like, I want to impress someone. I'm trying to make soup, but soup is one of those things people think is really complicated until they make it. And then you have to tell them it's actually really, really easy.
Yes.
So yeah, I've taught lots of single men how to make soup in the store. Yeah, so you take the onions and you saute the onions. And
So who is your local food hero?
I think anyone who's growing and trying to sell or make local food in this area is my hero, because it's really, really hard. It's this valley, I think, in general, if anyone on the other end who owns a small business would agree, it's a very difficult place to make money. Mm. And I think food is that much harder, more difficult. So yeah, anyone who's doing it, all the farms, Ironwood Farm, Jerry Pattison from Pattison Farms came to mind. Mm-hmm. He's the president of the Small Scale Food Processing Association. I always tease him, he's a curmudgeon, but he's so knowledgeable about organics and local and food manufacturing, and very passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And I know he's one of those farms who grows such beautiful food, he could probably sell it all to the big guy and have to do any deliveries. And he's committed to local restaurants and tiny local markets like me. And he gives us first rate refusal on his produce, even though I know places like Thrifty's are like, dude, we'll buy all your carrots, they're so good. Mm-hmm. So I know that about him. So right. I'd say for that reason, he's one of my local food heroes. Because if you're listening, Jerry, I know you don't actually have to sell to us, but our customers love your carrots. They're so good. My kids wait for his carrots. So he came to mind. Ironwood Farms does a lot too for the organic movement. Mm-hmm. All the farms and food manufacturing, and lots of people with great ideas, you know, that are just willing to take a risk, and some of them falter and. Yeah, they're all pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite part of doing the store, is getting to interact with all those people. Yeah.
Good. Cool.
So what are your plans for the future of the store?
Oh, survival.
She's going to turn it into a box store.
I know, we have some guy in. How come you guys aren't bigger? You should grow. Get a bigger location. Do you have any idea how much work that would be?
Yeah.
Our plan is to throw a really big party at our 5-year anniversary.
Nice.
You might get invited. And I think we just really want to remain a staple in the Cumberland community. What that looks like, I don't know, whether it means bigger, we can still accommodate a lot in the small space that we're in. It's taken a tremendous amount. I realize this is what I didn't know when I opened it, because I've never worked in a grocery store, is that people have really serious food buying habits, and it takes a really long time to crack into those habits and convince them that you're trustworthy, that you can be a part of their habits, that you'll be there. And so I think we've really managed to do that with our customers, and we just want to build on that. I think we can do more of that in the space that we're in. We're not quite there yet. We're still doing the chugga-chugga struggle. But growing every year, and Cumberland is so happy and so supportive and just so positive about us being there. I think we're there to stay and maybe grow.
So another 5 years is what?
Our plans are top secret.
Top secret. Top secret with a guaranteed another 5 years. Is that the...
I would think so. Excellent. I don't think I can get out of it anytime soon. No, that's really what it comes down to.
I would be coming to your house, knocking on the door. Tina, what are you doing?
I know. My staff told me they'd all quit if I left, but I'm not leaving. don't start any rumors. It's a small town. But I mean, we've embedded ourselves in the community. We love living here because of lifestyle, but honestly, it's also not easy to leave once you've embedded yourself in the community by investing in a business. So yeah, we're there for at least the long short haul. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're there for a while. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what keeps you in the Comox Valley? I mean, we've probably touched on most of that right there.
I can't get out of it. Yeah, I used to quit jobs a lot, and I can't quit this one, apparently. I'm married to it. Lifestyle. It's a nice place. My husband's a musician and loves the arts community. I'm also somewhat of a visual artist. I love that. I mountain bike. I love my bicycle. My husband loves fishing. Just life's, it's got it all here. And I think it's tricky to live here and make money. Otherwise, most of Canada would move here and the island would sink. But, if you can manage to do, I mean, I feel so blessed. I get to do what I love and be here. So that's what keeps me here. It's a really nice place. Plus, it's like October and people are still wearing shorts. I'm from Calgary. They're not wearing shorts in Calgary right now. Not that I don't love Calgary too.
That's one thing I got to say about John and I, is we're both very lucky that we have good jobs that allow us to be home every night with our families, and versus having to go back to where you're from or somewhere, to go work in camp to make ends meet.
Well, and a lot of people here have to work away, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and in terms of lifestyle too, being my husband's self-employed as well, and as much as the juggle is insane for both of us, we we've been home with our children, you know, for the whole time that we've lived here. They're, mm-hmm. I mean, not always home. Sometimes you've probably seen Mace in the store watching mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo in the back room.
Yeah.
you know, he spent a lot of his preschool years just hanging out behind the till, but he was with his mom. And mm-hmm. so that lifestyle-wise, it's allowed us a really strong family priority, and mm-hmm. that's pretty fun, too.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps this up, Tina. Thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Yeah,
we
thank
appreciate
you for
everything
me.
You're doing.
You
and,
guys are fun.
great community spirit you have.
And thank you for doing what you guys are doing. I think this is great, this podcast.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, we're having fun
it's
with it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The food community.
It's fun to talk about
is
food.
Bigger and bigger.
It yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Thanks, Tina.
Okay.
So, John, do you have any local events you'd like to talk about?
Straight up for local events, nothing that jumps out right now. I mean, the one thing I can talk about is it's not a local event, but I won't be in with you next week for the studio. We'll have a guest host in with you.
Right.
And we're still working on that, I believe. But I think you've got someone to sit down with you as well as someone to interview.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be heading off to Vancouver, actually. I'm going to go hit one of the food shows over there and just see what's happening in the world of food.
Right.
In the big world of food, not just the local scene. So yeah. It should be a little interesting for me and maybe give me a chance to talk to some people about what we're doing over here.
Right.
So
oh, that's a good idea.
Should be fun. So
cool. Yes. Well, we have coming up. Well, tonight is the World Community Film Festival, but I am obviously, or this is going to be aired after that's over. So unfortunately, if you're hearing this, you're too late.
Well,
but I'm going tonight. So I'll hopefully next week I'll have a little bit of something to say about the film that they're playing. It's called Edible City, a film about urban agriculture and the people that are involved in that. So, and Arzina Hamir, who is a past guest, and I think she's coming in next week to co-host with me or some, she'll be here in some situation anyways. She's taking part in the film and or the film fest and holding a kind of a discussion afterwards. So we'll probably have some things to speak about on the film. So that'll be good.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't make it because I'm heading back home because one of our past guests, Brian McCormick there, he invited me over this afternoon. And he said, you want to make some beer with me? So we got the beer going. We got our hops in there and the malt. And we got it all going. And then he got me going on some, he's making some apple wine. So I was out there with the juicer.
Yeah.
His old industrial juicer from the Bar None days. And we were up to probably 15 liters of apple juice by the time I left. And
wow.
Had to let it cool down so we could have our little dinner for tonight. So.
Yeah. Fantastic. That'll be fun.
Yes. So I wish I could be at that show tonight to check it out, but you'll have to fill me in and give me a little heads up on what happened there.
Yeah,
so.
You betcha. We got International Chef's Day coming up October 20th.
Can't forget about that.
So get out and say thank you to your favorite chefs.
That's right.
The Top 40 Under 40 Gala Awards and Dance at Crown Isle October 25th.
That should be a fun event.
Yeah.
I will be there.
You will. Many other people will be there, too.
That's right.
The Child Haven Fundraiser Dinner is October 25th. For more information, childhaven.ca. I don't know a lot about that one, but it was brought to my attention by my neighbor. So if you're interested in helping to raise a little money for some third world orphanages, that's, I think, the gist of what that one's about. November 19th is the North Island Junior Chef Competition.
Up at Campbell River North Island College.
Right. It's a HOTS campus. Competition.
HOTS competition, so it'll be hot food. We'll see what some of the junior chefs come up with and what they create. They get judged on how they prepare everything, how they cook the food, and plus presentation and the final product. So.
Right. Let's see. We got Chef Aaron Rail from Avenues doing the One Big Table on October 29th.
Right. I was asked to come help him. I told him my wife would probably leave me if I went. So, but I wish him all the luck. I think you were talking about grabbing a ticket to head out there.
Yeah, I might try and go to that. We'll see how it all works out here. But
I've done one with him before, and it's such a great opportunity just to sit down with such a distinct group of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a family dinner, right? Everyone sits down and gets to enjoy the meal together and sort of comment together and compare how they they feel about it. And there's always a beautiful wine pairing that I know Connie puts together with it. So it should be a good meal. So
sweet. Yeah. For more information, contact Avenue Bistro, check their website, or give them a phone call. Crown Isle 11th Annual Wine Fest, November 3rd.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So we got to get Andrew in here to give us a...
That's right. We're trying to get Andrew in here because he's got another event we want to talk about, but stick with the wine festival.
Yeah.
That's always a huge event, a great opportunity to sample some of the fine wines from around the region. So definitely recommend being there for that.
Yeah, we'll do something about that with Andrew in the coming weeks.
Yes.
He's a busy guy. He's got two little kids, so.
That's right.
Plus, he's a chef, so obviously that takes up 90% of his time.
90%.
And then the kids take up 9% of his time, so. That is about it. We got the Hans Peter Meyer Local Food Hero event with Twitter and Facebook for Eat, Drink, Comox Valley and Beyond. So he's trying to just... And it's for a $100 gift certificate to Union Street Grill.
Which is an excellent place to go to.
Fantastic, yes.
Love the food there. So you can go in there and just all you have to do is write down. I think the rules are you need to pick a person that's your hero who has done something in the world of food, where they are from, where they're working.
Yeah.
And then I think he wants three words that sort of describe that person.
That's right, yeah.
And then they allow everyone to vote on it. I think it's a great way to go. And there's some names in there that kind of jump out at me that kind of surprised me that, you know, and that actually, yeah, they definitely deserve a little nod of the hat for their hard work in this, in the food industry.
They do, yeah. I haven't voted yet. I'm still thinking about who I want to nominate, but I'll probably end up nominating like a dozen people.
Yeah, I've seen a few people. I've got a few more people I want to put down there.
Yeah, I think I might nominate you because you feed me every night before the podcast, so
yeah.
That makes you a hero in my books. the Comox Valley $100 challenge is still happening too. So if you're interested in helping keep a little bit of the of your local grocery spending in your community, find it on Facebook and join the group. And we're trying to keep track of kind of how much people are spending on local food.
And we have one more thing that's happening with Edible Valley that we talked about earlier and probably already forgotten. But we're talking about putting together. I thought we might as well just send it out here to get some interest going on it. But we're going to do the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. I believe we're going to maybe go into, have to clear it with the owner, with Teresa, beyond the kitchen door and have a dinner there. And I thought it might be fun to take. We've got, we've been doing our little meals throughout the shows that we've been coming here for.
Yeah.
And I thought we could choose from those. They're all on our website, Edible Valley Test Kitchen.
Yep.
And I figure we could take three of those meals and we're going to do a film and do a little cooking demonstration on three meals from that. So I thought that might be fun. And maybe we could have a winner or have someone come in to sample some of these foods with us. So
yeah, you bet.
Should be it'd be a fun little event. So we haven't quite figured out how we're going to make this all work, and I'm kind of throwing this right at Blaine right now, but I think it'd be kind of fun just to sit down, and I know we want to invite some of the people that have helped make this podcast happen come along with us.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. No, I think that'll be a fun thing to do for us, to just get out and do a little cooking together and talk to people, and it's not going to be a huge gathering, but it'll be intimate and fun. And
that's right.
Give us a chance to play around.
So we'll probably put up two. We'll probably start a little prize and give out two tickets.
Yeah.
Get two people in there to come and sample the food with us. So
great. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll make up some sort of a contest, like who have all our previous guests been in order, and then we'll just randomly draw somebody or something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing too difficult, because that would mean a lot of thinking on our part.
True enough.
Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with our operating costs of the podcast, our local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check our website at ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you'd like us to have on the show, ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.